Every once in a while, you get a week where the threat landscape doesn't just evolve, it accelerates. This was that week. Chinese APT groups industrializing botnets out of your edge devices. A confirmed backdoor on Cisco firewalls that laughs at your remediation playbook. AI finding 271 zero days in Firefox in what I can only assume was an afternoon. If you took a few days off this week, welcome back. You have some reading to do.
You're listening to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen. With me, as always, is Jordan Reeves, and this is our Saturday Week in Review. If the daily episodes piled up in your queue, no judgment. Here's what actually mattered this week and what it means for your program going into Monday. We've got four big themes to work through. Nation-state tradecraft took a significant step forward, and we have the joint advisories to prove it. The AI threat surface expanded in three distinct and uncomfortable directions simultaneously. The breach ledger had some entries that should shape how you think about third-party risk and your own IR vendors. And on the governance side, the leadership vacuum at CISA got worse. Let's get into it.
So the geopolitical story of the week, and I'd argue the story of the quarter, is that 12 allied agencies put out a joint advisory on Chinese APT groups building covert networks out of compromised routers and edge devices. 12 nations. That's not a routine threat bulletin. That's a coordinated diplomatic signal dressed up as technical guidance. What they're describing is a fundamental shift in Chinese offensive tradecraft. These groups have moved away from targeted, bespoke intrusion infrastructure toward industrialized botnets built from the devices sitting at the edge of your network right now, your SOHO routers, your VPN concentrators, your firewalls. The tradecraft advantage here is real. When your malicious traffic originates from a legitimate IP in someone's home or small business network, attribution becomes genuinely hard, and detection requires a baseline you probably don't have.
And I want CISOs to hear that last part clearly. Do you have a baseline for what normal looks like on your edge devices? Not your endpoints, your routers, your concentrators, your network edge. For most organizations, the honest answer is no, and that's precisely the gap these groups are exploiting. The advisory does include actionable detection guidance, which is relatively unusual for a document like this. Your team should pull that and work through it this week.
The second China-adjacent story that connects here is the UK Biobank breach. 500,000 health research records, genomic data, health histories, appeared for sale on Chinese e-commerce platforms. A UK government minister confirmed it. And I think CISOs in healthcare and research need to sit with that for a second. This isn't just a GDPR problem. Biomedical data at scale is a national security asset. The adversary understands that, even if your legal team is still framing it as a privacy compliance issue.
Alongside the China picture, we got some important context on Iran this week that I actually found useful as a framing correction. U.S. officials are pushing back on the idea that Iran's cyber posture is primarily about shock and awe attacks. The assessment is more nuanced. Iran is operating low and slow, opportunistic intrusions that are designed to look bigger than they are. There's separate reporting about AI-generated malware targeting Israeli water infrastructure, assessed as ineffective, but the direction of travel matters. The implication for CISOs, particularly in energy, water, and critical infrastructure. You're not primarily preparing for a dramatic destructive event. You're hunting for stealthy, long-dwell intrusions that have been in your environment for months.
Now, let's talk about the AI theme, because it ran through almost every story this week in different ways. And I want to separate three distinct vectors here because they're easy to conflate. First, is AI as an offensive force multiplier for adversaries? The Wired reporting on North Korean hackers this week was genuinely clarifying. We've spent a lot of energy worrying about nation-state actors with elite technical capabilities. The DPRK story flips that. One group of operators that analysts describe as mediocre stole up to $12 million in 3 months using AI for malware development, fake company websites, social engineering scripts, the works. AI is not just making good hackers better. It's making average hackers dangerous. That changes your threat model.
The second AI vector is AI as a vulnerability discovery engine, and this one is frankly the most consequential for the long term. Anthropic's Mythos model found 271 security vulnerabilities in Firefox 150. Mozilla's own CTO said the model is every bit as capable as the world's best security researchers. Let me put that in board-level language. The window between vulnerability existence and exploitation just collapsed. If a well-resourced adversary has access to similar capability, and we should assume they either do or will soon, the notion that you have 30 days to patch a disclosed vulnerability becomes a fiction. Your patching cadence, your compensating controls, your detection posture. All of it needs to be rethought against a world where vulnerability discovery is automated and fast.
The third AI vector this week was internal, AI agents as a new attack surface inside the enterprise. Two stories converged on this. Cloud Security Alliance data showed 2/3 of firms have already experienced cybersecurity incidents related to AI agents, data exposure, operational disruption, financial loss. At the same time, researchers at Johns Hopkins demonstrated prompt injection attacks through GitHub PR titles that caused Claude, Gemini CLI, and GitHub Copilot to leak their own API keys. The attack required no external infrastructure, just a malicious pull request title. If your developers are running AI coding agents in CI/CD pipelines, and 85% of enterprises are piloting this, you have an active attack surface that most security teams are not governing.
And I want to add the checkmark story here because it connects. Hackers compromised Docker images and VS Code extensions for Checkmark's own KICS security analysis tool. A security vendor's tooling became the attack vector. When you add that to the AI agent prompt injection research, you're looking at a developer environment where the tools themselves cannot be fully trusted. That's a supply chain problem with implications for how you govern your software development lifecycle end to end.
On breaches, and there were several worth your attention, the Vercel incident is the one I'd spend the most time on. The origin point was a single employee's OAuth grant to a third-party AI tool called Context AI. The breach expanded to additional customer accounts during the investigation. Mandy had got called in, and the downstream exposure is still being scoped. This is the story you use when your board asks why you care about OAuth token hygiene. One OAuth grant to one AI productivity tool opened a breach that is affecting Vercel's customers and their customers. Map your OAuth grants. Govern third-party AI tool integrations like the attack surface they are.
Two guilty pleas this week that are worth flagging. First, a member of Scattered Spider, Tyler Buchanan, 24 years old, pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. His group hacked 12 major tech companies using SMS phishing. There is nothing technically sophisticated about what Scattered Spider does. It is social engineering, it is help desk manipulation, it is exploiting the gap between your security policies and how your people actually behave under pressure. If you haven't hardened your help desk authentication procedures and employee identity verification recently, this is your reminder. The second plea was more disturbing. A ransomware negotiator named Angelo Martino admitted he was secretly working for Black Hat while nominally representing victims in negotiations. He was helping maximize ransom amounts against the organizations that hired him. I don't want to overstate the frequency risk here, but the implication is clear. Your IR vendor relationships need oversight, vetting, and separation of duties. Trust but verify applies to the people you call when things go wrong.
There's also the Firestarter backdoor story that broke Friday, and I want to make sure it doesn't get lost in the weekend news cycle. CISA issued an emergency directive over a backdoor on Cisco Firepower and ASA devices that survives reboots, upgrades, and standard remediation, a joint US-UK advisory. The backdoor was discovered on a federal civilian agency network that had been compromised since September 2025, 7 months. If you have Cisco Edge devices, and most of you do, your current remediation playbook is insufficient for this threat. You need to pull the CISA guidance and think about what hardware-level integrity verification actually looks like in your environment.
Quickly on the governance front, CISA's nominated director Sean Plankey withdrew his nomination this week after waiting more than a year for Senate confirmation. I don't want to editorialize too much on the politics, but the operational implication is real. CISA is the federal coordination layer for threat intelligence sharing, emergency directives, and incident response support. It has been operating in chaos. If any part of your security program leans on federal guidance or coordination, and it probably should, you need contingency posture for the possibility that coordination remains degraded for the foreseeable future. Build more peer relationships. Lean harder on ISACs. Don't assume the federal backstop is reliable right now.
On the privacy legislation front, House Republicans released a federal privacy bill modeled on Virginia and Kentucky state frameworks. No bipartisan support, uncertain path to passage. Our take, don't restructure your data governance around this bill, but do use the moment to benchmark your current program against where federal legislation is likely to land eventually. The direction is set, even if the timing isn't.
And the market note, Cisco reportedly in talks to acquire non-human identity startup Asterisk Security for somewhere between $250 and $350 million. For CISOs, this is a category validation signal. Machine identities now vastly outnumber human ones in most enterprise environments, and most programs are not governing them with anything like the rigor applied to human identity. If you don't have a clear answer to the question of what non-human identities exist in your environment and what access they have, that's a gap that deserves priority this quarter.
So what was this week? If I had to name it, this was the week the attack surface became simultaneously wider and faster. Wider because edge devices, AI agents, developer tooling, OAuth grants, and IR vendors all showed up as active attack vectors in real incidents. Faster because AI-driven vulnerability discovery and AI-enabled adversaries are compressing the timelines we've historically built our programs around.
The through line I'd bring to your board is this. For the better part of a decade, the security conversation was about complexity. Too many tools, too much data, too much noise. This week was a preview of a different problem. Adequate defenses are getting harder to define because the offense is accelerating faster than most programs can track. That's not a counsel of despair. It's an argument for ruthless prioritization. Edge device integrity, AI agent governance, OAuth hygiene, help desk authentication. Those are your four action items going into the week.
Get those Cisco advisories in front of your team Monday morning. Don't let the weekend bury them.
That's the week. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday with us. ClearText returns Monday with daily coverage. If this episode was useful, share it with a peer who needed the catch up. We'll see you next week.